Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, February 22nd, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Youths in Maswingo are planning peaceful demonstrations over President Mugabe's $800,000 birthday bash.
I doubt very much that they will listen to what President Mugabe said, because if you look at what's happening in ZANU-PF, I think the time now is gone when Mugabe's word was like the Bible.
Some Zimbabweans say President Mugabe and war veterans may be on a collision course following the president's attack on Minister Mutswangwa. A High Court judge has nullified the suspension of Gweru councillors, paving the way for their return to work. And Harare magistrate has dismissed Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana's application to be removed from remand, ruling that he has a case to answer.
What we are going to do is a matter of strategy, is a matter of our thoughts at this stage. We can't share that at the present moment.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Some Harare residents say President Mugabe and war veterans may be on a collision course following the president's appeal for calm in the party last week. Despite the president's attack on war veterans, Minister Christopher Mutswangwa for allegedly convening an allegedly illegal meeting of the former liberation fighters, which was crushed by the police, war veterans appear to be backing the minister, said to be an ally of Vice President Mnangagwa, who is reportedly eyeing the presidential post. Our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa reports from Harare.
In an informal street survey in Harare today, most interviewees said indications are that President Mugabe is no longer in control of the party and war veterans will take advantage of that to sidestep him. One of the residents, Abel Patsikadoa, said war veterans are now clearly backing Mutswangwa, despite President Mugabe's remarks last Friday that his party will take stern action against the minister. We had organized an indaba to discuss the president's succession and related issues.
I doubt very much that they will listen to what President Mugabe said, because if you look at what's happening in ZANU-PF, I think the time now is gone when Mugabe's word was like the Bible. Because now if you look at what they're doing, Mugabe comes out, says one thing, the next day we see another thing. So because I think everybody is now looking after their own interests and they know Mugabe will be gone soon, so it's hard for them to continue listening to him because they know you won't be around for long.
Another resident, Tongai Machemedze, said it appears as if the war veterans do not want the president's wife, Grace Mugabe, to succeed him.
Yeah, from what I'm beginning to see, it appears as if the war veterans are no longer going to listen to Mugabe anymore. But now you would find that the war veterans, what they seem to be seeing now is Grace Mugabe dictating and through Robert Mugabe, and they are saying, no, we cannot take that. I think you saw what happened on Sunday, that the war veterans, after Mugabe's statement on Friday, they came out blasting Mugabe, saying that, no, we cannot accept what Mugabe is saying, because that's exactly what Grace Mugabe had already said previously.
Independent political analyst Ernest Mudzengi said it was now clear that the war veterans will have their way, but warned that what is of importance is how far their defiance will stretch before they are expelled from the ruling party.
So the war veterans, as indicated by their leadership, that is the leadership under Mutswangwa, and we are talking here in this case, Mr. Matema Danda, they have said they will stick to their guns. They have said that they will stick to their leader. The implication being that President Mugabe, in his address, enumerated that Chris Mutswangwa be removed as war veterans leader, because he actually said he misled the war veterans, but they are saying they are standing. So far, what they have done, if at all these guys are still the ones in total control of the war veterans camp, is to defy what the president said. But it now depends. The issue at stake is whether or not their defiance will last the stretch. I think that's the issue.
Victor Matema Danda, the Secretary General of the War Veterans, told a press conference on Sunday that they still recognize Mchangu as their legitimate leader and not Mandi Chimene, who kicked out the War Veterans Minister, claiming that he was backing Mnangagwa's alleged attempts to topple the president.
Comrade Mchangu was not elected by these people who are here. He was elected by the war veterans in Zimbabwe, all over. And we cannot decide. But as far as we are concerned, as war veterans, Mchangwa is our chairman. He has attempted to serve, and he is leading us well. We have provincial chairpersons here because they are in support of him. And we are receiving messages. People are saying, okay, if other quarters do not want Mchangwa, the war veterans will continue with him.
Meanwhile, the war veterans have won an interim order from the High Court barring Chimene, who is also the Manicaland resident minister, from acting on behalf of the Zimbabwe Liberation War Veterans Association. Chimene was declared chairperson of the war veterans by another rival faction that is believed to be aligned to the so-called Generation 40, which is fighting the alleged Mnangagwa faction group known as Team Lacoste to succeed Mr. Mugabe. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Thanks, Patricia. Controversial war veterans Jablani Sbanda says there's too much confusion in ZANU-PF now compared to the time when he was expelled from the party with several other senior officials for allegedly attempting to topple President Robert Mugabe.
The president lost control of the party a long time ago. It could have been some times when he benefited from running two functions, because this divide and rule policy has worked. But only people fail to understand that it does not work so permanently. But you see, there was no way you could afford to have two functions run concurrently in one party and nothing happens. When the stage when there was this weasels and gamma talks, the president was not supposed to tolerate that. But maybe he felt that when the people are divided under him, then he becomes the source that brings that party together. But it failed to work so. And then he worked with the other function, which had invited maybe his wife, and then it became glorious to his eyes to work with that function and get rid of half of the party. But now that half that remained in the party has now been divided in new terminologies, Lacosta and the General 40 or the K-40, whatever they call them. I don't know what the G stands for. But what really I know for sure is that they don't represent any generation.
Now, looking at what you're saying about the war veterans meeting last week, do you think that the war veterans are going to heed the president's calls to actually unite and, you know, do something differently? And at the end of the day, it seems as if Mutswangwa has now won a court case in which he's going to be still the war veterans leader. So what is going to happen briefly here, Mr. Swand?
No. I don't think what the president said, he apologized to the war veterans. He never apologized for the 50th Brigade. He apologized for a tear gas and some jambok to war veterans. But he never apologized for more than 35,000 people that were killed by the 50th Brigade. He never apologized by those pregnant women that bayonets cut through their tummies and the children and the fetus inside was considered to be dissidents. He never apologized for that. Jambok, people that were put into prison, it's not detention. He never apologized for that. Look out, Masube, commander of Zebra, who died in his cells. He never apologized for that. So that apology, surely, is just the wind.
And that was war veteran and expelled ZANU-PF member Jablani Sbanda speaking there with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Bulawayo. ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kayamoyo was not reachable for comment as he was not responding to calls on his mobile phone. Harare magistrate Makaichi Kwekwe today dismissed Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana's application to be removed from remand, ruling that he has a case to answer. Chikwekwe said Tomana should remain on remand as there are reasonable grounds to believe that he has a case to answer. Tomana is facing criminal abuse of office charges or alternatively defeating the course of justice after he authorized the release of Solomon Makumbe and Silas Fupa, who are accused of plotting to bomb President Robert Mugabe's family business concern Alpha and Omega Dairy. Tomana had filed papers claiming his arrest was unconstitutional, but Chikwekwe said he released the accused without even reading their dockets. Chikwekwe also said the members of the police acted within the law, as only the president is immune from prosecution. The prosecutor general had also argued that his juniors cannot prosecute him, but the magistrate said they had the right qualifications to do the job at hand. For perspective, Studio 7's Blessing Zulu reached Tomana's lawyer, Thabani Mpofu, who was cagey about the way forward.
You soon see the way forward. We're working on something. You then report what we have done. Not comfortable with you guys reporting our thoughts. But yes, when those thoughts turn into something tangible, then yes, we'll place that before you and you'll be able to report on that.
But are you going to appeal?
Well, you'll see what we'll do. As I've indicated, what we are going to do is a matter of strategy, is a matter of our thoughts at this stage. We can't share that at the present moment. But once we've taken a step, it will be there for everyone to see. And so you'll be able to report on that.
So you are still maintaining that his placement on remand is unconstitutional?
By all accounts.
And that was Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana's lawyer Thabani Mpofu speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Opposition National Constitutional Assembly leader Professor Love Momadugu says the escalating tensions in the ruling ZANU-PF party and fears of a potential split is a blessing in disguise for Zimbabweans, as a united and strong ZANU-PF stifles political reforms. Madugu tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the country is headed in the wrong direction because of ZANU-PF's intransigence.
Well, I think it is quite common cause that the country is in a very, very bad shape in the sense of the growing levels of poverty, the growing levels of pain in people. You are not easily able to get money on the table to be able to fend for your family or to survive. Very difficult for a person to get food during this period of hunger and drought. And then it is a situation where you find that there's very little that the government is doing for its people. So I would describe the state of the nation as largely that of hopelessness for the majority.
And what is your take on what is happening in ZANU-PF? Obviously, it affects everyone since it is the ruling party.
Well, but I think what is happening in ZANU-PF, although it affects everyone, is very, very, very positive in the sense that that party must just be destroyed. It must destroy itself. So if they are going to be putting on the so-called self-destruction button, it will be very helpful. You need a very weak ZANU-PF for this country to get to a better situation. That strong ZANU-PF that will stand in the way of progress, a strong ZANU-PF that sees no reason, that sees no suffering, it hears no nothing, is not a good thing for a country. So what is happening in ZANU-PF, people must celebrate that. It's somewhat God's own answer to the problems that we face.
And now, Professor Maduku, we are now seeing former Vice President Joyce Mujuru saying she has registered a party, Zimbabwe People First. Are you willing to work with her as the NCA?
Not at all. We have no interest in working with Ms. Mujuru and her party. That is a ZANU-PF group, and these are people that have been in government for the past 35 years. They only left government when they were fired by their colleagues. We now know how they govern. You cannot separate Ms. Mjuru and a group from the policies that ZANU-PF has been pursuing since 1980.
That was Opposition National Constitutional Assembly leader Professor Lovemo Maduku speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Tomorrow, Blessing has an exclusive interview with ZAPU leader Dumiso Dabengwa, who says Mr. Mugabe has a chosen successor, but he does not rule out a military intervention in resolving the ruling party's succession dispute.
The facts are that this might cause problems, not just for ZANU, it's not problems for ZANU-PF, but if that succession thing is not done properly, it could create chaos, more chaos in the country, and lead to unnecessary violence, which could cause people's life and probably plunge the country into a conflict, into an internal conflict, not just for ZANU-PF, but the whole country.
Tune in tomorrow for this interview right here on Studio 7. Coming up, the world awaits results of a research over the safety and effectiveness of an antiretroviral drug, Daprivine, for HIV prevention using a vaginal ring. And we'll give you details on the shutting down of diamond mining companies in Zimbabwe. Stay tuned. But first, we take a look at regional and international news. The United States and Russia are reported to have agreed on a plan for a ceasefire in Syria starting on Saturday. Officials and diplomats quoted by Western news agencies on condition of anonymity said the truce would exclude attacks on Islamic State and the Al-Qaeda-affiliated Nusra Front. Apple chief executive Tim Cook told the firm's customers today that the U.S. government's demands are chilling, that it build a backdoor into an encrypted phone used by one of the shooters who killed 14 people in a terrorist attack last year in San Bernardino, California. And police in Uganda arrested opposition leader Kizza Besigye again today, days after he lost a presidential election he says was fraudulent. Besigye had planned to go Monday to the headquarters of the Electoral Commission in the capital, Kampala, to collect evidence as he weighs whether to file a legal challenge. And in our health segment today, the University of Zimbabwe, in collaboration with the University of California San Francisco Project Director Dr. Nyaradzo Mgodi, will today release findings of two studies conducted in Zimbabwe and other African countries to establish the safety and effectiveness of an antiretroviral drug, Daprivine, for HIV prevention using a vaginal ring. The results will be published at a conference on retroviruses and opportunistic infections, which started in Boston, USA today and will end Thursday. Meanwhile, the Parliamentary Committee on Health today met with a delegation from the Ministry of Health to discuss the high prevalence and mortality rates of cervical cancer among Zimbabwean women. Health Ministry officials say 2,200 new cases of cervical cancer are detected annually, with the mortality rate standing at 1,700 per year. Dr. Annette Moyo tells Studio 7 it's important for women to go for early cancer screening to enable them to undergo treatment early and to avoid fatalities.
There was a parliamentary sitting today discussing cervical cancer and its effects in Zimbabwe. But what we know right now is that cervical cancer is the major killer. It's actually the topmost killer of women in Zimbabwe. It's the cancer that is affecting most women right now. It has beat breast cancer to it, and we know that it's affecting younger women. Now, I think probably around the ages of 30 to 40, we are seeing a lot of emerging cases of women who are younger who are suffering from cervical cancer. And we also know that it is much more prevalent amongst people who are HIV positive. There is an association that increases the prevalence of the disease and also how bad it will be. That is basically what we know. And we know that it's affecting about 2,200 new cases every year and killing about 1,700 women per year. And those are very high numbers, marvelous. They are very scary. And we should be doing something about it.
So what do you think could be done to bring down those numbers, especially the mortality rate, if it's at 1,700 per annum?
The problem, marvelous, with cervical cancer is that sometimes the symptoms that a woman may suffer from early on in the progression of the disease may be taken by a woman to be normal. They may have bleeding, intermenstrual bleeding, and they may think that it's normal. They may have pain when they have sexual intercourse, and they may think that it's normal. So you'll find that most of the cases actually present late, when the disease has gone so far that we are not able to do much to avoid the oncoming death. So that is why the mortality is very high. But I think in our country right now, we have a few initiatives that we've put in place to try and detect this cancer when it's still amenable to treatment. One of the things that we are doing is free cervical cancer screening for women above the age of 25. And I think that is one of the major things that we could effect in order to try and reduce the mortality. And we would also want every woman to know about cervical cancer, to increase awareness, so that when a woman is suffering from those symptoms that are associated with cervical cancer, they will quickly seek medical care so that they are able to get some help.
And you were talking about the age of women who are actually getting affected by cancer, having it starting at an earlier age than before. What do you attribute this to?
There was a study that was done recently that showed that women in Zimbabwe, sexual debut, the first time that a woman has sex in Zimbabwe, is becoming much and much younger. So you'll find that at the age of 12, 13, a young woman in Zimbabwe is already engaging in sexual intercourse. And that is actually one of the major contributors to why cervical cancer is occurring at such a young age in women. Because as soon as they start having sexual intercourse, they are exposed to the virus that causes cervical cancer, which is HPV. And it takes about 10, 15 years for that infected person to then start converting into a cancer.
That was Dr. Annette Moyo speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Mines Minister Walter Chidakwa today ordered all diamond mining companies to cease operation with immediate effect after the companies failed to renew their licenses. According to the state-controlled Herald newspaper, the minister told a press conference held in Harare today that the affected mines, mainly those operating from Chiadzwa in the Marange diamond field in Manicaland, have been notified about this move. The newspaper further reported that Chidakwa also announced that the government-controlled Zimbabwe Consolidated Diamond Corporation now holds all diamond claims. Most diamond mining companies ignored a government call to form a consolidated company that would give the state a 50% shareholding. Studio 7 failed to reach the affected companies for a comment. However, Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri reached Farai Maguu, director of Center for Natural Resources Governance, who says though the government's move was a little too late, it's still welcome.
It's too little, too late. The damage has already been done. The diamond has been filtered out of the country. This is what should have been done many years ago. And we have been calling for this for a long time. But I also think, apart from just stopping these mines from operating until they comply with the minister's directive, there is need for a commission of inquiry to investigate everything that happened in Marange. Government, by its own admission, acknowledges that Marange Diamonds has been looted. So there is need to investigate who did what.
Why are these mining companies not complying with the government demands of renewing their licenses and also forming that consolidated mining company?
I think these companies have enjoyed the benefits of lawlessness for a long time. So Minister Chidagwa is trying to bring some light on these operations. And naturally, these efforts will be resisted. If the companies comply, I think we have much to benefit than to lose as a country. I have confidence that the minister has got something that he is trying to drive at. He wants transparency. He wants to have a centralized management of the mining operations in Marange. I think he wants to reduce the military influence in Marange.
And that was Farai Magoo, Director of Center for Natural Resources Governance in Mutare, with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. A High Court judge has nullified the suspension of Gweru councillors, paving the way for their return to work following their suspension in August last year. Our correspondent Taurai Shava brings us more.
Justice Francis Berry said, after having weighed the argument presented by the councillor's lawyers and that presented by the lawyers representing local government Minister Xavier Kasukwere, who was the first respondent in the matter, he had come to the conclusion that the minister had acted unlawfully. Berry said it is clear that the provisions of the removal of mayors or councillors from office under Section 114 of the Urban Councils Act were different from those spelled out in Section 278 of the new constitution, and hence the minister's action had been in contradiction with the statutes. Kasukwere suspended all Gweru's 18 councillors last August on allegations of abuse of office and corruption. Three of the councillors were subsequently fired and replaced through a by-election. The minister then appointed a three-member tribunal to look into the allegations against the councillors and later appointed a commission, which has been running council affairs up to date. Mayor Mtendi Kombai and 10 other councillors had initially been granted a provisional order setting aside their suspension and halting the disciplinary proceedings of the tribunal pending their application for the final order, which was granted today. In the application, Kombai and his colleagues sought that Kasukwere's appointment of the tribunal be declared as being contrary to the constitution and that charges laid against them be declared null and void. One of the lawyers representing the councillors, Reginald Shdawanyika, said he was pleased with the judgment, adding that it meant that the councillors could immediately go back to work.
There's nothing more that needs to be done legally. This is the import of the ruling by the judge, that the minister exercises powers that he doesn't have, and the councillors are supposed to go back to work and discharge the mandates that the electorate placed on them.
Another lawyer representing the councillors, Iso Mandipa, said he did not see the local government ministry appealing against the judgment, as it was a well-reasoned one.
To me, when you read the judgment by the judge, it's a well-reasoned judge, and really no prospects that one can really appeal against that judgment. The law is very clear. Section 278 of the Constitution is very clear, and really there are no prospects that one can even make a successful appeal in this matter. To me, it is already the end of the road.
Kasukwere was not available for comment as he was not responding to calls on his mobile phone. The local government ministry has over the years suspended or fired many councillors in Zimbabwe in a move many have viewed as political interference in the running of local authorities. Reporting for Studio 7 from Lawayo, this is Taurai Shava.
Thanks, Taurai. Remember, tomorrow we are giving you the story about the youths in Maswingo who are planning to stage a peaceful protest over plans by the ruling ZANU-PF party to host President Robert Mugabe's lavish birthday party in the province that's hard hit by a crippling drought.
On Friday, the 26th of this month, we are going to hold a peaceful demonstration, which is constitutional, here in Mashingo Town, on the four major streets of Mashingo Town. We are expecting about more than 150 youths to be in attendance on the day.
Don't miss that story tomorrow, but for now we are recapping today's top stories. Youths in Maswingo are planning peaceful demonstrations over President Mugabe's $800,000 birthday bash. Some Zimbabweans say President Mugabe and war veterans may be on a collision course following the president's attack on Minister Mutswangwa. A High Court judge has nullified the suspension of Gweru councillors, paving the way for their return to work. and a Harare magistrate has dismissed Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana's application to be removed from remand, ruling that he has a case to answer. That's it for tonight. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntunga Milinkomo.